my bias will show here, but like speaking as like a young conservative, like this isn't exactly what I was expecting from one of my first presidential elections. And so I think people are very interested to see how the response is going to be.
Had it not been so terrifying, it would have almost been beautiful. Like, beautiful. Like, you see, like, an awful, horrible fire, but in it you see, like, beauty. Like, that's what it was. Like, the one shining light in a disaster.
You're listening to the Duke Political Review.
Welcome to the next episode of DPR Radio. My name is Claire Boyd, and today we will be continuing our look into this year's presidential election. Over the past couple of months, we've been keeping a close eye on this election's band of misfits. Trump, Sanders, Clinton, and Cruz have been vying for the coveted seat of the leader of the free world, and we've been wrapped up in polling data and debate coverage over who we think is making the most successful run. One thing that has constantly perplexed me is the dedicated support of Donald Trump. On a liberal college campus, it's easy to hear things like, "feel the burn," and "we're ready for Hillary." But what about those voices that speak for Trump? Who are these supporters, and what are they like? Two Duke students, you heard their voices earlier, headed down to South Carolina in early March to hear these voices and better understand their support for the business tycoon. So, meet Michelle and Shocker, two DPR journalists that attended a Trump rally in Gaffney, South Carolina.
So my name is Michelle Krogius. I'm a first year from Southern California. On DPR, I'm a columnist for the online board and have recently been working with the Election Central, which is why I went to South Carolina.
My name is Shocker Saman. I'm a junior with DPR. I guess technically on staff, I've always just sort of written print pieces.
I'm actually not a poli-sci major or anything, or pub-pol or anything like that. I'm in the engineering school, but politics has always been something I've been very interested in. I grew up in a family that was very interested in it, so I knew it was something I wanted to pursue, at least to some extent, when I came to college. And this election seemed like a really interesting time to do it.
So yeah, I got an email a couple days before the South Carolina trip was scheduled to go down, just asking if there's anyone who had a car, because three freshmen were going down to cover South Carolina. And I volunteered because I am always willing to skip school to do something that sounds way more fun than that. And so I put my name forward. Eventually, all three of those freshmen ended up dropping, and then a second freshman came on up, or fourth, I guess. So it was I, Michelle, who's a freshman here, and a buddy of mine from UNC named Brett Thompson.
Okay, so let's set the scene. Three students, including Shocker's friend from UNC, who are interested in this crazy presidential race, drove down to South Carolina to attend a couple of rallies. They see Cruz at a local barbecue restaurant, hear Rubio speak at your neighborhood CrossFit gym. But the most interesting event they attended was this rally of Trump's. I was curious to hear why.
What types of people did you talk to? What was the most memorable conversation you had with a Trump supporter?
At the Trump rally, there's a little guy. His name is Tad. He's 5 years old. He'd been asking his mom to come to the Trump rally for weeks. He was wearing a camouflage blazer and a camo Make America Great Again hat. And I took a picture and was talking to him and his mom for a little bit, and I was like, just thinking, like, this kid never had a chance.
I spoke with like young parents, it looked like, and they had, you know, their son was there with them. And they were very much like kind of, you know, I was trying not to be like too, trying not to go too deep in the conversation, because we definitely weren't given that much time to talk to people, which is like basic, like, you know, what brought you here? Are you a Trump supporter already? Are you looking to see everything? And definitely they were like Trump supporters there to see Trump, and very much because of the PC culture. That was like a huge topic with almost everyone I talked to. But specifically with this family, they were very much like talking about, you know, their son growing up, and they didn't want him to have to deal with, you know, PC culture, which is something that Trump is so obviously against.
At the Trump rally, there was a series of what I like to call Trump bros. There's a local lacrosse team, and I think also maybe a frat, who all just decked out in their douchiest get-ups. It was actually, like, had it not been so terrifying, it would have almost been beautiful. Like, beautiful. Like, you see, like, an awful, horrible fire, but in it you see, like, beauty. Like, that's what it was. Like, the one shining light in a disaster. There was the guy who'd volunteered for 20 straight Trump rallies. He was wearing a sombrero and a Clemson pullover windbreaker, and he had a doll, a Donald Trump doll signed by the Don himself. every caricature that I'm giving you, like, it sounds so preposterous, but I promise you they're true. Like, these people actually exist somewhere, and they all happen to go to these rallies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there were definitely characters. A young boy sporting Trump's catchphrase on his youth-sized cap, a family showing their support because of the PC culture, a decked-out lacrosse team, and even an avid volunteer with a miniature of the presidential candidate himself. But who else is there? These might be the outliers, but how is Trump gaining this widespread support?
What were your impressions of, like, Trump's rhetoric during his speech, like, besides talking directly to the press? Do you think that, like, his interaction with the crowd was different, you know, than the other rallies and the other candidates?
Yes. Yeah, so definitely, first of all, the reason that it was so different was because it wasn't a, like, large hangar. Like, there was a large crowd. He was on stage, had a podium, was speaking, like, at the crowd, kind of, but was still, like, eliciting big responses. Like, he definitely has his lines.
Yeah, he's got papers, so he's clearly reading notes. But I think the more general ideas and things that he's said over and over, so he knows what he's saying. And then, just like you and I would in a conversation where I'll start on one topic and I'll move to a tangent because I have an idea, mm-hmm. then I'll go back to the original topic, that's how he speaks. So it's more, less that he's speaking at you like a politician would be giving a speech, and more that he's having a conversation with the audience member.
Trump's way of interacting with the crowd was definitely more, I'm going to say something that I know you are all going to enjoy. So it's definitely more like big rounds of applause.
And so for a voter who's never felt this way or never been engaged, not only do they agree with some beliefs, but they feel like this, it's personal now. This candidate actually cares about me because he's talking to me. He's not speaking at me. He asks for crowd opinion. He says, you know, he cheer when this happens, do this, raise your hand if you've done this. Like, he wants engagement. And as a result of that, I think it's painfully obvious why, I guess you can look at it like religiosity, why his supporters not only support him, but support him so, like, fervorously.
And at both of the other rallies, half the people I talk to usually would say, like, oh, yes, I'm definitely, like, for this candidate. And the other half would be like, oh, like, I'm still deciding. But at the Trump rally, I didn't talk to a single person who wasn't 100% in for Trump.
But why now? Trump has tried this run before. Even if it was only half-hearted, why is this working today?
It's way easier for a Republican to swing up in support because it's so much easier to tap into that primal instinct of fear. It's so much easier to say, you can't let them in because bad things will happen. There are bad people out there. Than it is for a Democrat to say, don't worry, everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. Because if one thing goes wrong, not only is it not fine, not only was the other guy right, but you're a liar for telling me that everything was fine. And so that kind of persuasion tactic works. If you can get people to rally around a group, as we've seen throughout history, or multiple groups, you can really, really win their diehard support, and that's what's happening.
Maybe Shocker's right. Especially after all of the international events of this year, Americans might be particularly fearful of the unknown and want a person in leadership that will be like them and respond like they would, quick to exclude people not like them. But back to Duke. Why does this matter on our campus? How are we dealing with these questions on the ABP line, or when we're waiting for the C1.
I sat next to this one woman during the Trump rally, and she was like, oh, this is so, like, how is this being responded to on a college campus? So I think people are very interested, especially with the Republican side of the primary, in how it's being received by millennials, because this definitely isn't, I think, like, speaking as, you know, my bias will show here, but, like, speaking as, like, a young conservative, like, this isn't exactly what I was expecting from one of my first presidential elections. And so I think people are very interested to see how the response is going to be when it comes time for us to vote.
Still, we're going to see a definite shift in the way the Republican Party handles business in the next 6 to 8 months. And it's going to be really remarkable, and it'll probably define the next 30 years of American history.
Despite your party or voting priorities, these next few months will be important in shaping the political scene for the next decade. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of DPR Radio. For more information or to subscribe, check out our website at dukepoliticalreview.org. Written and produced by Claire Boyd, interviews with Michelle Krogius and Shocker Saman for the Duke Political Review 2016. Until next time, happy listening!